Ladies and gentlemen, I am at the Reverb in Reading. We're here talking to Don from Battlecross, and you guys are on tour with Gwar and the Butcher Babies. How's it been so far?
Dude, are you kidding? Touring with my favorite band of all time. I'm living the dream. I've dreamt of this moment since I was 16. Finally doing it. I'm actually helping Gwar out as like the fifth slave. Trust me, it's awesome. Loving it, dude. Loving it.
So I'll keep an eye out for you up there.
Well, I try to keep myself hidden because I'm not one of, like, I don't have a costume on, so I'm just one of the guys like, give me something. All right, here's this. Wrangle hoses real quick. What do you want me to do? All right, start running, spew. Okay, cool. So I keep my blacks on, well, my black show clothes on, so you don't see me hiding in shadows.
Awesome, okay. Yeah, so I, in my research, saw that you love Gwar and they're your favorite, so... You're not only touring with them, you're a peer now, so you've come a long way.
Yes, I have, man. It's just, never thought we would actually do this, but the fact that we do, and all the Gwar dudes are super cool. Same with the Butcher Babies. There's no drama, no BS. And it's one thing to see the show from out front. And, you know, it looks chaotic, but the show is also, like, twice as chaotic backstage. Because, you know, these guys, they're running their butts off. They're sweating. They're miserable. But they've been doing this for 30 years. They know what they're getting themselves into. And it's a great show every night, dude.
And this tour, of course, is celebrating 30 years of Gwar, to give context to that. But, yes.
Yeah, bud. Yeah, 30 years. You know, I've been alive 33 years. So they started when I was 3. I got into it when I was 16. Man, are you kidding? I can't believe they've been around this long. But they're also a band that could probably go about 1,000 years, you know? Because they're never going to age. They can just have costumes on. Something happens, new character.
There you go. Mm-hmm. As we've seen, it's that.
Yep, even, you know, the death of the front man. Rest in peace, Brocky. But that won't stop Gwar. You know, they will find a way. This is their life. Nothing's going to stop them, dude. Nothing will stop them.
I mean, I'm still kicking myself for not seeing them a couple years ago when I had the chance, but I'm sure it'll still be awesome tonight.
Oh, yeah, you, dude. Just, well, you're not wearing white, so you might, unless...
I'm, you know, blending, you know, any blood that gets on your...
Well, that'll turn purple.
Oh, okay.
That'll turn purple. They have a lot of blue, as you can see from the back of my hand here.
Yeah.
And my socks. So, yeah, you'll turn different colors, especially if you get up front. If you don't want to get doused in spew, you might want to stand back.
Yeah, I'll try to be up front for you guys after that, not making any promises. We'll see.
Oh, hey, come on up front for us, dude. We'll make it worth it.
Awesome. Okay. So, you answered this off mic. I'm curious with your relationship with some of your fellow Michigan-Detroit area brethren and fellow Decent Exposure Radio interview alumni, Black Dahlia Murder, Hellmouth, the Suicide Machines, and even Mike Supina from Wilhelm Scream. He was in Alucard back in the day, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've only played a show with Hellmouth out of all the bands you've mentioned. Black Dahlia Murder, we shared the same practice space, so we talked, we bullshit, you know, we hung out for a while. But we only got to play Hellmouth. I think it was, I can't remember the name of the CD, but it's one of their CD release parties. Got to rage with them. But, you know, it's weird because as we were coming up, a lot of the bands were already established, doing their own thing. So it's different generation gaps. You know, Black Dahlia Murder, they're, you know, top of their game in death metal. We're still trying to climb, still trying to establish ourselves as much as we can. So, I mean, the relationship is there. We just, because everyone tours so much, we really don't get to hang out that much. So.
I figured maybe you'd have some shows together or whatever local stuff going on, but it's all good. Yeah.
No. I mean, it'd be nice, but like I said, between touring schedules, recording albums, and home life, it doesn't, that opportunity doesn't really come up that often, sadly.
All right. So do you guys switch up the set list every night or find one at the beginning and stick with it?
It depends. We have a set list for Gwar, but when we do a headliner, we'll you know, of course we have more time, so we'll make a set for that. When we start the second leg of Gwar, we're going to add in some newer songs, take out a couple. So, you know, we're going to switch up because we're going to play some of the same areas as we did on this leg. So we want to give them the same show. And they're like, oh, well, I saw this last time. No, we're going to play some of the same songs, but we're going to switch it up as much as we can.
Philly, what, mid or end of November, I think, first, not drawing a blank on the venue.
In Philly? God, your guess is as good as mine.
I have a laminate that goes up until the 19th.
That's fine.
Until we start the second leg.
That's fine, but that's what the internet's for. People can look it up. They'll be back. So, all right. So, speaking of recording stuff, Rise to Power in stores now is in stores. And I hope you guys have some Robitussin in the van because the album is sick.
Trying to make me blush. Flattery will get you nowhere, my friend.
Interview over.
Oh, you're good. Thanks, dude.
So you have a music video out for Absence that people can check out and get a little taste. So with you guys, Between the Buried and Me and Cattle Decapitation, all making some of my favorite albums of the year, what is it Metal Blade that's what are they feeding you?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, usually it's a trickle effect, but Metal Blade came out fierce this year. Like you said, between Cattle Decap, Rivers of Nile, there was Behemoth earlier this year too, right?
I think last year.
Was that last year?
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm getting all confused, but yeah, man. But yeah, this year, dude, it's been the year of the Blade for sure. They've had some great hits coming through, and to be a part of that roster is incredible, man. It really is. They treat us well. They have all the connections in the world. Love it, dude.
Rivers of Nile is from Reading, so.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Are they on tour?
That's a good question, and depending when this airs, I don't know, but.
Okay, fair enough. I say if they're not, they should be out here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would, but it's all good.
So with three of you guys writing, Tony, Hiran, and you, do you just take the best of all the riffs and just go with that and build on that? Or do you try to have like, all right, it's time for a Hiran song or a Tony song?
Nope. It is whatever you come up with, man. It's like we'll just sit down and just write skeletons, email it to each other, you know, through Dropbox and say, hey, take a listen. What do you think? Give a critique, and we try to keep it open so that way you can just write a couple riffs or whatever. We use Reaper or whatever, so we send them the files, they can go through, splice them, add what they want. So how's this sound? And through that, we try to essentially write 80 to 90% of a song, but we keep it open. So we'll say for Rise to Power, we went to Sukov, and you know, he helped, you know, he produced it. Of course, he has all these ideas, especially with the arrangement. So whereas the songs you heard on the album, they were close to being faithful to what we wrote, but he had such good ideas, I was like, man, we can't pass this up. So between us, yeah, it's just bouncing songs off of each other. I wish we can get together and jam more, but you know, everyone's got their lives, so thankfully the internet's around to make life a lot easier.
You guys don't all live right near each other, or?
I live probably about 10 miles away from Tony and Hiran. Those two live close. Gumby, Kyle, he lives in Flint, which is about an hour and a half away. And Alex, well, he lives in California, so. Yeah, I mean, the three of us, we can get together, but especially with Tony just now becoming, you know, a dad, Hiran with his job, it just makes life easier just to send him a track so he can listen at his own, you know, at his own discretion, whenever he wants to, check it out. Say, okay, you know, just write a quick email. Well, why don't you try something this? Pick it up. Maybe something a little bit more blast beat. Okay, back to the think tank.
Okay. Is there a noticeable difference? Like, do you guys each have a different approach or something that you usually bring to the table?
Totally. Like, Tony loves his epic moving songs. Hiran loves it just being heavy. And me, I like it fast.
Okay.
Faster the better. I don't want the drummer to stop. Maybe for like a couple bars he can bring it down, but that he better pick it back up.
So you'll come out with a grindcore side project someday?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
There's a good chance, a very good chance.
Okay, a Koi exclusive here, maybe not.
Awesome.
So it seems like time is always a factor when you're in the recording studio, of course, budgets being what they are. So you said, I guess, you're 80-90% written before you go in, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah, we try to keep it as open-ended as possible. We want to be like, this is it, because you never know. Someone might have a last-minute great idea, oh, that's awesome. You know, whereas we may have thought it was 100%, well, now it's 110.
Yeah.
So.
You guys are touring in a small van, so I guess that doesn't really give you too much room or ability to write too much on the road.
Nope. I mean, usually hotel rooms or nice green rooms if we get the opportunity. If we get a nice green room, sure, I'll sit down, open up the laptop, throw in my DAW and just kind of plug in. Like, all right, hit the metronome, click, click, click. Come on, brain, work. And just start going from there, man. Any ideas, like, you know, if you wake up with an idea, you try to remember it as long as you can all day. And hopefully it doesn't dissipate, and that's sometimes the case. Because you get busy, load in, like, the hell is that song? Oh, and you try to recreate it, and it's gone.
You guys ever hum it into, like, your phone, just to remember the melody?
I've done that a couple times. Just a good melody, like, man, that sounds sick. But I wish I could, like, layer it with, you know, the chord progression underneath it, and then the melody on top. That would make life a lot easier. Because sometimes I have a great melody, but no chord progression, or vice versa, and then I'll forget it. Oh, well.
All right. So a huge story, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. You've got Alex, the guy now behind the kit for you. You've had some talented drummers in the past, but what is it about Alex that makes him the guy?
He's definitely got youth on his side. He's very... very calm, very easygoing. He just simply loves to play, man. He's got great ideas. And since he's so young, he's open to many different styles and ways to play. He's not an old salt stuck in his ways, you know. And the ease of talking to him makes him a great drummer, dude. It made writing Rise to Power with him a lot easier. So I'd be like, well, I'm going to do it this way. Like, we'll throw suggestions this way. I'm like, I'll try it. Comes out good. Love it, dude. Love open-minded drummers. If you're a drummer and you're listening to this, be open-minded, please. We may not know exactly how to say something, but we'll try our best.
That's good advice, I would say. Mm-hmm. So on YouTube, Metal Blade had a lot of behind-the-scenes making of videos for the album. Is it kind of a pain to have cameras, you know, filming you as you're trying to nail a take, or is it like, whatever?
Nah, I just look at it and just flick it off or something. Like, how much footage are you going to take of me going through the same part over and over again? Or if they nail it, me doing it on the first take, like, you got that right. No, I didn't turn it on. Cool, thanks. But you caught me going, like, trying to fight or just write a part. Like, well, yeah, we caught that. Yeah, that's going to look great. But, yeah, it's no big deal. Most of the time, I don't even see them turning it on. I just sit there and just play. Look over, I see a little flashing GoPro red light. Oh. You're recording this. Whatever.
And speaking of your playing, I have to give you a figurative tip of the cap because awesome style. I think I've heard you say something about Matt Freeman from Rancid being an influence. And
he was my first influence on bass. I loved his tone, loved how he played. He, you know, he played in the pocket, but also halfway out of the pocket. You know, he would just sit there and riff, and hearing that for the first time, you know, I grew up listening to older classic rock and all that, so the bass was just kind of there. It was there, but in the pocket. You'd hear him fill in a couple times, but to hear Matt just shred it on a pick, just going to town, I'm like, whoa, what is this? This is bass? Yes, I want to play like that.
Just be glad Metallica's Injustice for All wasn't the first album you heard, or else you'd be like, well, no one can ever hear bass ever.
Yeah. Oh. What's a bass? Well, it's, oh wait, you can't hear it. I've actually considered I've done it, but I can't release it because it's Metallica, but I've actually messed around when we had like a bunch of time. I just took the Injustice for All album and put bass lines to it just because I was bored. I'm like, you know what? I want to hear what it sounds like with bass. Put bass lines to it. Said, sounds good.
Yeah, I think it's a good
bass learning album.
It is.
Yeah, because it's non-existent, so make your own. It's like one of those... choose your own adventure books. Who knows where you're gonna go? You can do whatever you want. You can slap, finger, pick, double tap, whatever you want. The world is yours as far as Injustice is All is concerned. So, Metallica, thank you for doing that, I guess.
Oh, well. Now, speaking of Jason Sukoff, he laid down a solo for you. Did you know he was going to do that on the path ahead of time, or was that just one of those in-the-moment kind of things?
I think it was in the moment, just like on... I believe it's Beast, where he did on War of Will, he did a guest solo on. It was just one of those ones, just You know, there was, I don't think there was actually a solo there, and Sukov was like, can I put one there? Yeah, sure, go ahead, bud. Please, by all means, put a solo there. You're only awesome at it. Shred, shred, shred.
Part of that was the compromise, because I think he was sort of not feeling one of the riffs on it that was a little bit bluesy or whatever, and then maybe it was like, all right.
That's it. That's exactly it. Yep. Okay, I'm sorry. I think I was getting that one in Beats confused. But
no, that's cool.
Please don't have an alarm.
So Mark Lewis mixed and mastered the album. In an interview, Gumby said that they should have, or you guys should have used him for mastering as well on War of Will. I don't know if you feel the same way, but from a mastering standpoint, if you feel this way, what would you have changed on War of Will?
I definitely would have made it louder. Seems like War of Will is a very quiet album. I don't know what they were going for. The bass tone was, in my opinion, buried. It was an overall good-sounding album, but I just wish it was louder. It was Rise to Power. You don't need to crank it up as loud to get the tone. And I definitely, you know, went back and forth with Mark Lewis and said, hey, bud, you know, give that bass some more bite. He did, no problem. So I just, you know, a little bit more bite, give it a more of a rawer kind of feel, I guess. And make it loud, man. Come on, this is metal. Not supposed to be quiet, it's supposed to be loud.
I got that one on Amazon MP3. And then after getting the new one on CD, I was like, yeah, it is louder. It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Much. And he did, Mark Lewis did a fantastic job. Yeah, so I wish he would have done War of Will. But that's neither here nor there. That album is now number 2, sophomore. We're moved on. We got Rise to Power. Lesson learned, man.
And the songs still exist live, so you can make them sound how you want, as long as the PA is good.
Absolutely.
All right. So one thing I've noticed, the albums are always right around 35 minutes, 35, 36. It's like clockwork. Yeah. Is that your way of shooting for quality over quantity?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, that's kind of us sticking to our more thrash roots. We don't want, like, we're not Opeth. We can't make 8 songs last an hour and a half. We like our songs being around 3.5 to 4 minutes tops. Because at that point, you know, that's kind of just it. We like having just rapid fire songs. I mean, you can listen to the album and say, that was awesome. I want to listen to another Battlecross album instead of going, when is this going to end? So, yeah, anywhere between, in my opinion, 32 to 48 minutes is the perfect album length. After that, you're going to start getting a little bored.
I could see that. I mean, I return to Rise to Power a lot, even though I love, you know, Coma Ecliptic, but that's like 70 minutes, and that's a commitment. That's like, that's my evening.
That is a commitment, dude. You have to be ready for the album. Whereas Rise to Power, you know, you just throw on, like, man, how long's this drive? Oh, about a half hour. Throw on that, dude. We'll get through most of it at least.
All right, so who had the idea for the Beach Bundle Pack?
I think that was our manager, Velda, honestly. I think you're like, let's do a beach pack. Okay. Do I get a beach ball and a towel? No. All right.
We have some extra sunglasses. Here you go.
Pretty much. I didn't even get those. But it is what it is.
All right, so I guess this is a Haran question, but he loves Gotor. I don't know if that's a band-wide love. Okay, so what album do you suggest people start with if they haven't heard them yet?
Blood for the Master.
Gotcha, okay.
That was the first one I heard, and it had me hooked, dude. And, yeah, just every song on that album rips, dude. Even though their new one is fantastic, but I love Blood for the Master, dude. If I said, well, I'm about to listen to Gotor, like, you have to listen to this one. That's my favorite. Got me hooked, so trust me.
Okay. So you mentioned you have another run with Gwar and Born of Osiris in a couple weeks, but do you have any other plans for the near future you can talk about?
Nothing that I actually know of yet. I just know we're doing the the long second, like 7.5 weeks with Gwar, starting, you know, October 7th through November 28th. And but after that, there's some things in the work, but sadly I can't talk about them yet. Because I can't talk about them because I don't know about them yet. All I know is, like, we're working on stuff. Okay. Let me know.
I mean, you guys have been touring relentlessly, so there's no doubt that you're working on something.
I mean, it wouldn't be nice. It would be nice to take the winter off, because winter touring is, you know, hazardous.
Yeah.
Kind of a pain, but, hey, man, if a good tour comes along, you cannot turn it down.
Yeah.
So if I'm home for a couple weeks again, so be it. Back out on the road. Get your snowshoes ready.
I always respected the Melvins' stance toward touring, because even though they're in California, I mean, they just refuse to do stuff after October, between like October and March, but then they record relentlessly all throughout that time, but then they tour relentlessly all the other 8 months or whatever, so.
That and Todd Evans from Mobile Death Camp, he has it right. Anytime they do a winter tour, they stay in the South, okay. Where there is no snow, or if there is, it's very little. I'm like, that's perfect. Like, yeah, we just stay in the South, from Southeast, Southwest, where it's nice. That's genius. Just go from there to back. There's a tour.
And people in regions know roughly when to expect you. I wonder when they're going to be back in town.
Yeah, if you're in the South, dude, that's what I want to establish. Like, in the South, expect us in the winter months. That's what I would love to come back. Okay. So, I'm only one guy, though, so I can only have so much pull, you know.
Maybe people will come around.
I hope.
So, I end every interview with this question, and it's going to put you on the spot here. Stuck in a desert island, one album, rest of your life, what is it?
Gwar, This Toiled Earth.
Okay, wow. No struggle there.
That was the album that got me into playing bass and heavy metal.
Well, on that note, thank you very much for the interview. And yeah, we've got a radio spot if you don't mind.
Oh, no.